Well, let's join in the prayer for illumination. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, speak to us in the language of our hearts, that we may hear your word with understanding and answer your call with confidence. Amen. The scripture lesson today is from the book of Acts, second chapter of Acts. I want to just say a word about that before we begin. The book of Acts was written by the same author of the Gospel of Luke, and whereas Luke tells about the life and teachings and death and resurrection of Jesus, the book of Acts tells about the birth of the church and how the church developed, and also about the journeys of the Apostle Paul. So Acts is really like a sequel to the book, or to the Gospel of Luke. This particular passage, it's interesting. See, the church yet did not understand itself as church, and Jesus instructed them to wait in Jerusalem and to be together and to pray and to wait, to pray and wait. You know, that's not a bad instruction for the church at any time, is it? So when we are waiting for the Spirit to instruct us and to form us and to push us forward, we wait together and we pray. So here they are. They're gathered, a bunch of them are gathered in the upper room. Luke says there were about 125 of them together waiting, and they were waiting and praying. And suddenly this thing happens. This entrance of the Holy Spirit happens. Jerusalem at that time was filled with people because they were there to celebrate a Jewish a festival. And so there were people from really all the known world who had come to Jerusalem for that purpose. And they were people who spoke in many different languages. And all of a sudden, the Spirit comes and fills the place and touches every person there, and they spill out into the street, and they are speaking languages. This is not glossolalia, that speaking in tongues, which some churches do. This is a different thing. These are real languages. These are real living languages, and they're speaking in these different languages, and people gathered from all over the world hear the proclamation of God's mighty acts in their own native tongue. Wow. So let's hear this together then. Acts 2, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they ask, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's mighty deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Where did the term redneck come from? You know, I looked it up online, and incidentally, I've read an interesting description of the internet the other day. It said that the entire history of all of the knowledge of humanity is contained on the World Wide Web. And we spend most of our time watching cat videos. It's true, isn't it? Well, there were several ideas about where this term redneck came from, but the one I liked best was in West Virginia. During the mine wars and the battle at Blair Mountain, the miners all wore red bandanas around their necks so that they would be identified as miners and not be confused with the federal troops or perhaps others who were not sympathetic to the miners' problems. Well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they were wearing red to celebrate Pentecost, do you think? Well, who knows? At any rate, comedian Jeff Foxworthy. Do you remember Jeff Foxworthy? Yeah, I haven't heard much about him lately, but several years ago he was pretty well known. And Jeff Foxworthy has some ideas about how to identify rednecks. Here's what he says. You might be a redneck, says Jeff Foxworthy, if your grandmother was asked to leave a bingo game because of her language. Or you might be a redneck if you come back from the dump with more than you took there. Or you might be a redneck if your dad walks you to school because he's in the same grade. You know, I may chuckle a bit at that, but a part of me does not 100% like it. Because in West Virginia, we are sometimes called rednecks or hillbillies or worse. And I don't like that. It's one thing for me to make fun of West Virginia, but don't let anybody else do it. I don't know why it's still acceptable in our politically correct society to make fun of rednecks. Perhaps it's because rednecks make fun of themselves. One of the longest running comedy on television was Hee Haw. Did anybody ever see Hee Haw? It's been some years now, but it was by rednecks for rednecks. Or has there ever been a more popular town on television than Mayberry, RFD? Perhaps that gives us a license to target rednecks because they make fun of themselves. Or perhaps we gain permission by acknowledging that the part of the country which is famous for rednecks is also a part of the country that has produced some of our leading politicians. Think Bill Clinton, or think Al Gore, or Trent Lott, or Newt Gingrich. All of them come from the same area which is known for rednecks. And I know some of you are thinking, yeah, and that's what's wrong with our country right now. But that's a conversation for another time, or perhaps for never. Well, why in the world would I be talking about rednecks on Pentecost? It's because Galilee was the cultural equivalent of redneck country in the time of Jesus. You could always tell a Galilean by his or her accent. Historians tell us that Galileans tended to have difficulty pronouncing gutturals and that they often dropped the last syllables when speaking. So they might say running instead of running, or hunting instead of hunting, or far when they meant fire. You know that old joke about the three wise men who came from afar and had to wear helmets then? Well, anyway, when Galileans were looked down upon as being provincial and as being backward and maybe even a little slow. And when Peter, you may remember, when Peter stood in the courtyard of the high priest as Jesus was being questioned by the high priest, there was a little servant girl there who recognized him as one of Jesus' disciples. Now, how did she do that? She did it by his accent. His Galilean accent gave him away. And so, now, knowing what we do about the Galilean accent, put yourself in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Here are these Galileans, these rednecks, and suddenly they are speaking eloquently in living foreign languages. They are speaking the equivalent of German and French and Arabic and Ethiopian, and they are speaking so fluently that those people who have come from all over the known world at that time are able to hear them and understand them in their own language. Can you imagine Jed Clampett from the Beverly Hillbillies suddenly bursting forth in fluent Greek? Or what about Gomer Pyle suddenly speaking fluent German? Or maybe Hee Haw's Junior Samples saying, "Bonjour, monsieur," as though French were his native tongue. If you can imagine that a group of rednecks with limited or no education can suddenly speak exotic languages, then you can imagine the scene in Jerusalem on that first Pentecost. No wonder the crowds who heard them were stunned. No wonder this event had such an impact. It was dramatic. It was extraordinary. It was unbelievable. And these country bumpkins suddenly became remarkable communicators, became articulate ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That brings us to something we need to say about Pentecost, and that is that Pentecost is a day of unity and respect for all people. It's interesting to notice the contrast between the story on the day of Pentecost and the one in the Old Testament concerning the building of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember that story? It says that people were trying to build a tower up to heaven in order to make a name for themselves, and God came down and confused their speech so that they could no longer understand each other and destroyed their tower and scattered them all over the world. Well, now contrast that with the day of Pentecost. Here again, people were gathered together in a large group, but these were people who had come from all parts of the known world at that time, and they already spoke different languages. They were already separated by their native tongues. Suddenly, these Galileans began speaking, and everyone could understand in his or her own language. The Tower of Babel represents the alienation of people from each other, and the Pentecost, the story of Pentecost, represents the coming together of humanity in Jesus Christ. That which had been torn apart now comes back together under the lordship of Jesus. Actually, there are two holidays that we are thinking of this weekend. One, of course, is Pentecost, and the other is Memorial Day. It's a time when we think about and remember those young men and women who have given their life in the service of their country. Did you know that there are a lot of young rednecks who lie in the cemeteries of our sacred dead? Perhaps there is a disproportionate amount of rednecks, because it's often people from the lower income level who are the first to be sent into battle. There are also many young African Americans. There are many Hispanics. There are many Native Americans. There are people who represent a variety of lifestyle. In a day when society is so divided, we need to remind ourselves that a group of country bumpkins sought not to divide society, but to bring it together. A spokesman, a later convert, the Apostle Paul, who was more educated and sophisticated than most of them, he spoke for them and he spoke for God when he said, "There is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Shame on those people who try today to divide us. Shame on those people who treat other people with disrespect. Pentecost is a day of unity and respect for all people. And here's something else that we need to think about. Pentecost is from God. Pentecost was not an idea from people. Pentecost came down from on high. The crowd in Jerusalem understood that. They knew that something extraordinary was occurring. People from such backgrounds do not suddenly start to speak with amazing rhetorical abilities unless something extraordinary is happening. Something from God. And we need a consciousness today that God is at work. God is still at work in our world. And even more importantly, that God's power is available to us. If God can use those redneck Galileans, think of what he could do with you and I. Guidepost magazine some years ago contained a story of a fellow named Tracy Bailey. Tracy Bailey was a young man who discovered that God's power is still at work in the world, but not before Tracy had broken his parents' heart and had deeply disappointed his hometown. The citizens of Goshen, Indiana, were stunned to find out that Tracy Bailey, who was captain of the wrestling team, who was on the student council, who was a good student, who was part of the church-going Bailey family, that he had been part of a group of young men who had broken into the high school and who had done terrible vandalism. One night, this group of boys, fueled by alcohol, broke into their high school and tore apart whole classrooms. Well, the judge was eager to make them an example, and Tracy Bailey was sentenced to 5 years in jail. And in prison, Tracy was determined that he was going to hang tough. But one night during a stint in solitary confinement, he caught a glimpse of himself in a mirror, and he was stunned at the physical change that had happened to him. And he fell to his knees, and tears began to flow, and he started to pray. He says he did not know how long he prayed, but he knew that God answered his prayers because one of the prison guards heard him and came in and offered to pray with him. And somebody gave him one of those Gideon Bibles. And it wasn't long before he joined the prison Bible study. And when he was released from prison early, he worked for a while to repay his debts and to make restitution to the high school. And then he went to college. He studied for an educational degree in math and science. He decided that he was going to give back to the world by being a role model for other young people. He was going to be a teacher. And he must have reached his goal because in April of 1993, Tracy Bailey attended a special ceremony at the White House where the president awarded him the high honor of being National Teacher of the Year. Can Galilean rednecks speak foreign languages fluently? Can a young man in prison who studies the Bible, can he become the National Teacher of the Year? Do such things really happen in our world? Yes, they do. And God is alive and at work in our world. Regardless of who we are or what we have done or what we've left undone, the door is open for a new beginning. And Pentecost is a celebration of our unity in Jesus Christ. And it's also a celebration of God's work and power in our world, in spite of how it seems sometimes. But there's one final thing I would lift up today for us to think about, and that is that you and I have a place in this dramatic story. We don't have to be rednecks for God to use us in a dramatic way. We are people with an amazing abundance of talents and opportunities. The problem is that you and I have not always used all of those talents and opportunities. to make ourselves, to open ourselves to be vehicles of God's grace. But it's not too late. The fire of God is still available to us if we will be open to it. A number of years ago, journalist and peace activist Norman Cousins wrote an editorial that was published in the Saturday Review. He told about a trip that he had made to India one time, and he had this conversation with a Hindu priest. And the Hindu priest's name was Satis Prasad. Prasad said that he wanted to come to the United States as a missionary to Americans. And, of course, Norman Cousins assumed that he wanted to come to America to convert Americans to the Hindu religion. But when asked, Satis Prasad said, "No, I want to convert them to the Christian religion." He says, "Christianity cannot survive in the abstract. It needs not membership, it needs believers. The people of your country claim to believe in Christianity, but from what I read at this distance, Christianity is more a custom than anything else. I would ask that either you accept the teachings of Jesus in your everyday life and in your affairs as a nation, or that you stop invoking his name as a sanction for everything you do. I want to save Christianity for the Christians." Satis Prasad had the spirit of those apostles at the first Pentecost. The wind of God is blowing, even at this moment. But Jesus still needs ambassadors in this world. They may be male or female. They may be black or white or brown or yellow. They may be rich or poor. They may be Gen Xers or Yippies or members of AARP. They may be college educated, or yes, they may be rednecks. It makes no difference, because God can use anyone who takes the name of Jesus Christ seriously. An amazing thing happened on the day of Pentecost. A group of rednecks was used of God to start a revolution. And that revolution continues today. It's a revolution of respect for all people and a recognition that God is at work in our world today. Can we be that kind of revolutionary for God? Will you pray with me? Oh, Holy Spirit, come among us like the fire and wind at Pentecost. We want to be open to you. We want to be directed and energized by you, but sometimes we just don't know how. Take us in hand, Holy Spirit. Remold and remake us until we are like our Lord Jesus, for we ask it in his name. Amen.